Well, I hope you're both happy and joyful by now as we've sung those songs. And of course, throughout our song service, there's been a great theme about having joy. You know, one of the things that I think will bring great joy to our heart is when we have the mindset and the mentality of being mission-minded. For the follower of Jesus Christ, there should be nothing that brings more joy to our life than to see a person trust in Christ and place their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, we're reminded that all of heaven rejoices, right? That Scripture says the angels rejoice when one comes to repentance. And so it is that for the follower of Jesus Christ, I believe that should bring great joy to our hearts, and we should have a mission mindset. So I want to talk about that this morning, have the mission mindset, not just about global missions. Very important to be mission-minded and send missionaries throughout the world. Very important. But what I'm really gearing at and focusing at on more this morning is this mindset as we have conversations about Christ with others. As we walk along others in life and share Christ with others. So I want to invite you to go to what is going to be our theme verse, a verse that encompasses much of this mindset of being mission-oriented, and that's Romans 10, verses 14 through 15. Listen to the beautiful words of this wonderful passage that goes on to say, in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good tidings." And certainly there is a message there of preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as we emphasize that final phrase, that final verse, it's a reminder that it is beautiful feet who declare good tidings of good things. There's no greater good tidings that we bring than the good news of Jesus Christ with to others. And so I want to touch on a few things I believe it's important to have as a mindset, if you will, for being mission-minded. First of all, we must have a heart for the Lord. Now, that sounds simple and such, but it all begins with that, doesn't it? That we have a heart for the Lord. This goes way beyond just being religious, but this is about being godly, and this is about the idea of seeking after Him, pursuing Him. It's the mindset that David would have had when he pursued the Lord, and as he references, "just as a deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul longeth after you." Having that mindset, having that heart for the Lord. All throughout Scripture, we see the emphasis of that. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament passage such as Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which goes on to say that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the desire of God, that you would pursue Him as He has pursued us, and to spend time in His presence, and desire to spend time in His presence, loving Him with all of our being. But you know, this sentiment is repeated in the Gospels in a passage such as Mark chapter 12, verse 30, which goes on to say, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." In other words, that is priority over all things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right? Matthew 6, verse 33. And so there's a passion and there's a pursuit of the Lord that one must have in order to be mission-minded. Because as we have the heart of the Lord, we're going to have a heart for the lost. We're reminded that Jesus, during His earthly ministry, as He went from town to town and village to village, He looked upon the multitudes, He looked upon the crowds. And what does it say about Him when He would observe the people? That He would be moved with compassion. And so a heart for the Lord and an alignment with the heart of the Lord, I believe, will create in us a desire and a heart for the lost. George Mueller is a missionary and philanthropist, if you will, from the 1800s. He's a wonderful story. It goes back to the 1800s once again to an individual who was a German immigrant that made his way to England. Now, as he was going throughout the streets of England, first of all, he had a conversion experience when he gave his life to the Lord. But as he would go throughout the streets of England, his heart was moved with compassion because of all of the children, literally, that were on the streets. You see, there had been epidemics and pandemics and things of that nature. Cholera, for one, was spreading all throughout the region. And so because of all these various things, there were a lot of individuals, including parents, that had died through the years. And so there was a great deal of young people, children, orphans, that were on the street. They were begging. They were stealing food to survive. They would be gathered up, and the government would put them in workhouses where they would spend long hours in harsh conditions. And so there was only a dozen orphan homes around England at the time. And so he saw the need, and his heart was filled with compassion for them. And so as the Lord put this burden upon his heart, Mueller began to pray about starting an orphan house. And as he began to pray, money soon would come in. Even though he didn't ask for money, he went to the Lord to ask for money. And this money would certainly come in and would pour in so that these orphans could be ministered. And so he determined that he would not turn anyone away, but that if they came to him as orphans, not having a place to go to, that they would bring them in. And so they would educate and train and feed those children. And so it was that he established the Ashley Down Orphanage, which ultimately in his lifetime would go on to care for 10,000 orphaned children. So Mueller, who was a prolific philanthropist, if you will, was also a missionary, was also very invested in preaching the gospel and getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. In addition to those orphans who he ministered to, he also paid for printing of Bibles and tracts. It is said that he gave away more than 250,000 Bibles in his lifetime. His prayer, as a man of faith that he was, raised the equivalent of $129 million, which he gave away as he died almost penniless. The trust that he set up would continue even long after his life. So in addition to the 10,000 orphans that were ministered to at his lifetime, during his lifetime, it goes on to record that nearly 18,000 children would be cared for during the 150-year life of the orphanage. In other words, his life made a difference, and his legacy made a difference. First, because I believe he had a heart for the Lord, which led to a heart for the lost. The British newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, would go on to write about Mueller, that he robbed the cruel streets of thousands of victims, and the jails of thousands of felons, and the workhouses of thousands of helpless waifs. What a testimony of a life well lived. When you have a heart for the Lord, which goes on to give you a heart for the lost. And so it is, I believe, that a mission-minded person, if you will, needs to have, first of all, a heart for the Lord, first and most important commandment, a heart for the lost. But it's also important that a mission-minded person will be headed by the Lord. We live in a day and time where there's various ministries all throughout our country and all throughout the world. And some are headed by the Lord. Some are not. And when a ministry is headed by an individual who is motivated by something other than a heart for the Lord and the lost, it can lead to greed. It can lead to corruption. It can lead to all kinds of issues. So we must be reminded that in our lives in general, we need to be headed by Christ and led by the Lord. And as we have a heart for reaching the lost, we must also remember and put in perspective that we have to be guided and directed by Christ Himself. Remember that Ephesians chapter 5 clearly demonstrates that it is Christ who is the head of the church. So as we pursue a worthy mission, may we be Christ-centered in how we approach worthy missions. As we pursue ministry efforts and reaching the lost, may we always be reminded that we have to be Christ-centered and has to be gospel-centered in the way that we reach people. As was beautifully depicted in even that picture, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is our primary message, is the good news of Jesus Christ that we demonstrate and we freely give to others. And so it is that we must be headed by the Lord, and we desire to be Christ-centered as we follow His direction in our life. We must also engage in disciples. That's one thing that I am so thankful for with the Operation Christmas Child Ministry. And that is, not only are they ministering and giving out these shoe boxes, which is wonderful gifts to these children who have pretty much nothing, but years ago, God put it on Franklin Graham's heart that we couldn't just give out boxes, but we need to begin a discipleship program. And so it is that the Journey program that is part of the Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Ministry evangelizes those children that have received those shoeboxes, shows them that just as they have received the gift of material possession, so it is that God desires to give the gift of salvation by demonstrating the great love that He gave and demonstrated for them. Of course, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, all depicted in that discipleship material. But not only that, but there is a desire that not only the children will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they will engage in discipleship, meaning that they will grow closer to the Lord. And so it is that I believe every believer in Christ ought to be engaged in discipleship, that we, as followers of Christ, may grow closer to the Lord. And not only that, but we don't just worry about ourselves, but we extend that opportunity to others as we serve God, as we serve others, and as we're determined that we are going to be part of the disciple-making process, which God has called us to be a part of and to do. And so we, as we're headed by the Lord, once again, we're Christ-centered. Our mission is His mission. The gospel is our primary message. Discipleship is our goal. In order to do all of this, we must be filled by the Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 reminds us to be filled with the Spirit. Now this is different than we're receiving the Spirit of God. As far as Jesus Christ, we understand that at the point of salvation, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that God gives us this gift of salvation and also the gift of the Holy Spirit who indwells the life of the believer, who guides and directs their life. But to be filled with the Spirit is an ongoing process in which we receive forgiveness to help with fellowship as we continue to spend time in His presence seeking the Lord, to be filled with the Spirit. And as we are filled with the Spirit, and as we walk obediently with the Lord, we are reminded that He will give us the power, He will give us the strength to carry out this mission, this great commission for our lives. Reminded of what the early church was told in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it goes on to say, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." See, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be missional or mission-minded, if you will, both locally and globally. And this is something that would be completely impossible but for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do so. And so it is that we need to be reminded, as we're mission-minded, have a heart for the Lord, have a heart for the lost, that we're headed by the Lord. And as we're allowing the Lord's leadership in our life, I believe that He will give us a strength to be steadfast as we serve Him. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for any amount of time, you know that difficult times come your way. And one has a choice to make as they're dealing with trials and tribulations. And that is if you will continue on and be steadfast, if you will, or whether you will choose to throw the white flag in. Reminded of an individual with God's help who remained steadfast all throughout his life. The individual is a missionary named Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson is known as a missionary who served in Burma, now references Myanmar, who was known as the father of American missions, had such significant work and contribution to translating the Bible into Burmese and creating the Burmese English Dictionary. And all of these wonderful things take place, but not without trials and tribulations. You see, for his life, his early life and his early ministry, it was trials and tribulations that came his way. Most people, quite frankly, would have quit. Because in the early years of his ministry as a missionary, he had no success from a human perspective. Here, as he came to this foreign land, he had one wife that died. Then he remarried, and a second wife that died. Two of his children died during his missionary years. Three, rather, of his children died during his missionary years. He was in prison during the Anglo-Burmese War, and it took Adoniram Judson 6 years to see one convert. Can you imagine? Nowadays, the mission department would have called him back because of a lack of success. But yet, even in those dark and dry moments, he continued on because he believed it was God's purpose, mission, will for his life to be steadfast. And so it is that because of the faithful ministry of over 40 years on that mission field so far away from this nation, many lives were changed. Last statistic is that over 4 million Christians go back to his ministry and have been gloriously saved through the generations because of the individuals that he was able to touch during his life. And so his legacy continues on to this day. Followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes you might not feel like you're doing a bit of good. It might be some dry territory and some dry moments, some dark moments from time to time, where you just don't feel like you're doing any good for the Lord. But be reminded that God is doing a work whether we see it or not. And we have simply been called to be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 57 through 58 reminds us of this charge. It goes on to say, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, any labor that is done for the Lord is not in vain. Why? Because it's the Lord doing the work. And so it reminds us that we are to follow the headship and the lordship of the Lord in our life. As we daily walk with Him, do we carry out the first commandment, if you will, to love Him with all of our being. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with that, as many of us do, to put Him first in our life. To walk obediently with Him, to walk by faith, and to live for Him. Maybe that is a struggle. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that that is a struggle. Maybe the Lord is laying on your heart the importance of putting Him ahead and first in your life. Understanding that it is He that is doing a work in and through us, and it is He that has begun a good work in us, who will complete it. Whether you see success or not. He has called us to be steadfast and faithful. So may the Lord is laying that on your heart this morning. Maybe the Lord is laying on your heart the importance of being mission-minded in general. And maybe you're thinking, oh, I give to offerings to go to missionaries. And that is wonderful. And that is a part of what we have been called to do, is to send forth missionaries to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It is both a call globally, but it is also a call locally. And I wonder if the Lord is laying on your heart the importance of having conversations, not just about things in life with others, but about conversations with others about Christ. And are you willing and are you available to have those conversations as the Lord leads? Maybe that's the response for you today, and for me included. Oh Lord, open up opportunities that I may be a light to others and share Christ and the love of God with others. As you open up doors, Lord, give me the strength and the boldness to take those opportunities and to share the gospel of Jesus with others. Oh Lord, help me to be more mission-minded in my life. Because I want my life to matter. I want to have a life of legacy which goes on for eternity. The people I talk to, I want to share the love of Christ with so that they can join me as follower of Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity someday. Is it the prayer of your heart? Is it the prayer of my heart? I pray that it is. We want to stop without giving that message, which we have referenced throughout this message so far. To be mission-minded, you have to know what the mission is, and the mission is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Maybe you're here today, you never received or heard the message clearly, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and so we want to make sure and declare it so that everyone hears it today. And that is this, that as Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent by the Heavenly Father to the earth so that He could be fully God and fully man for the purpose of going to the cross at Calvary to shed His blood for your sins and for my sins. He was buried, but He did not stay there. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And the victory is found in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is victory in Jesus. Come to Him today. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sins. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that He died for your sins, my sins included, was buried, but rose again a third day according to the Scripture, and receive Him by faith, the Bible says, you will be saved. That is God's primary mission, called the Great Commission, is to see people come to Christ. Come to Christ. if you have already received Christ, continue to share that gospel message of God's love with others. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and many I know are here that have been followers of Jesus Christ for a long time. But all of us have room for improvement. And you desire for us to share the love of Christ with others. So help us, Lord, in our mission giving to be faithful so that we can send others to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. But help us, O Lord, also to be faithful in our own walks of life, to be faithful to share the good news of Jesus Christ by word and by deed, we do pray. Help us to honor and respect and honor your headship in our life. You are Lord, so may we act and live as though you are Lord of our lives, we do pray. Now, O Father, as we go into this time of invitation, we ask, O Lord, your blessing upon this time. Move and work within our hearts and with our lives by your mighty Holy Spirit. Draw us closer to you, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.